all of this because we have before us in both opportunity, a chance to do things differently.
Inter-Parliamentary Union to address the forum.
Good morning. Dear Madam Rebecca Greenspan, Secretary General of the United Nations Conference on Trade and Development, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen. It is a great honor for me to address you on behalf of the global parliamentary community as president of its organization, the Inter-Parliamentary Union, which brings together 179 parliaments of the world. Some 46,000 men and women currently hold seats in national legislative institutions around the world. This is a huge force. These thousands of men and women politicians have a constitutional duty to create laws, to hold government to account, adopt budgets, and review public policies and accounts. After near 2 years of economic crisis that happened after a huge health problem caused by the pandemic of a small but a very dangerous virus that affects all of us, north and south, rich and poor, all countries of the world suffer with that. We begin now to see the light at the end of the tunnel as a consequence of the vaccination process. At some time, we began to talk, to discuss the process of recovery, of course, to recover our economies, but more than that, to achieve a sustainable economy, we should avoid mistakes of the past, and we need investments, a lot of investment to achieve sustainable development goals. Of course, when we talk about investments, we refer to public and private investment. Public investment, driven by governments at all levels, central, regional and local, to create the basis, utilities for the territory, but also to support the social sector, essential in so many countries in order to have a sustainable economy. But we also need public investment in people, in the form of education, health, public transit, and so on. All of these require a lot of resources. For a long time, we have been hearing cries that there is no more money until the COVID pandemic appeared. And the money appeared as well. In rich countries, central banks, money generation capacity and government fiscal policies helped generate trillions of dollars. These lessons need to be retained for the future after the pandemic. Instead of reverting to pre-pandemic policies, governments in developed countries need to invest more in public services that are key to the green transition, such as transport, as well in support of the care economy. The extra liquidity that was generated in the north also needs to be channeled to the south to allow many countries to recover in all kinds of aid, which unfortunately is still under half of 0.7% target. With regard to the private sector, ladies and gentlemen, investments in general, and for the green transition in particular, we all know there is no shortage of private capital in need for investment opportunities around the world. The problem is how to put this capital to good use through productive investments. The reason why this huge liquidity has trouble finding investment opportunities may be because sometimes there are too many government rules and regulations, but also because there we find relatively low demand for goods and services due to low wage paid to workers, which in turn affects investment opportunities. And because in many countries we may find problems of good governance with corruption in all levels. Only if we talk in a frank way of these issues and if we find answers about the ways to change it, we will really have more investment, or better, investments with concrete and good results. The World Investment Forum is a perfect platform to promote exchange on these key issues, as we seek to recover from the pandemic in a sustainable way. Parliaments have an important role to play in these deliberations and to maintain a strong political commitment to sustainability and equity. You know that you may count with us parliamentarians. Dear colleagues, dear friends, I wish you every success with this important event.
Thank you, Mr. Pacheco, the representative of the lawmakers worldwide, for bringing the perspective. Allow me now to invite Mr. John Denton, Secretary General of the International Chamber of Commerce, the institutional representative of more than 45 million businesses around the globe, to give his remark.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to address you today on behalf of the International Chamber of Commerce. We are the institutional representative of more than 45 million businesses worldwide. Friends, less than 12 months ago, many observers were predicting an end to globalization itself. The pandemic disrupted supply chains, investment flows dried up. Governments, suddenly confronted with the resulting vulnerabilities and dependencies, encouraged what they called reshoring, production of critical goods. And it was anything but certain that science could deliver us the tools to break the back of COVID-19. But today, the outlook is actually brighter. There is little indication of a sustained movement away from global supply chains. Businesses showed remarkable ingenuity in responding to difficult circumstances. And the private sector, yes, developed vaccines and treatments at record pace. All with the result that global trade will actually rebound significantly by the end of 2021 and more than offset last year's precipitous decline. But my friends, there are still challenges to trade, to investment, and to our systems of economic governance. In trade in recent months, many businesses in our network have suffered production outages or sales shortfalls due to disruptions in supply. Rising transport costs risk further stoking inflationary pressures in advanced economies in particular, translating into punitive cost of living increases for hard-pressed families. And business and governments together need to face up to the investments needed to boost shipping capacity over the medium term. We need supply networks to learn the real lessons of this crisis and find their new normal. But the real answers will not be found in the shimmer of reshoring, which in reality is nothing more than a form of populist protectionism, which only concentrates risk and increases prices for consumers. The investment picture, however, is much more worrying. Naturally, the pandemic had a greater impact on investment than trade. After all, transporting goods around the world requires little physical human interaction. But acquiring a firm or establishing a new production facility in another country actually requires travel, often to meet potential partners and, in many cases, close contacts with foreign governments to obtain the permits necessary for the investment. Pandemic-induced border closures and travel restrictions have obviously made this much more difficult. Accordingly, governments wishing to increase investment flows must prioritise breaking the back of this pandemic and safely reopening borders and economies. Fundamentally, that requires getting vaccines, tests and treatments distributed equitably around the world as quickly as possible. And that is why the global business community, and ICC in particular, calls on governments to fully and immediately fund the ACT Accelerator to enable those vaccines to flow. Not as an act of charity, but as a first order investment priority. But the business community is not only concerned with how to increase the quantity of investment, but how to get the right quality investment that will enable us to achieve the Sustainable Development Goals. Because the reality is that around $6.3 trillion worth of infrastructure investment is required each year up to 2030 to meet development goals. And a significant proportion of this will have to come from the private sector, be it companies, financial institutions, banks or long-term investors such as pension funds. Doing this requires creating the right incentives for the private sector to shift funds into sustainable investments. Above all, governments must get the investment climate right, which for business means predictability, transparency and efficiency as they seek to assess and mitigate their risks when investing abroad. Our ICC investment guidelines set out principles for both investors and governments on a range of issues, from ownership and management, finance, fiscal policies, to anti-corruption and technology. And I encourage all governments to adopt these principles as a means of encouraging responsible and sustainable investments in our post-COVID and hopefully post very, very post-COVID world. There is also much more that can be done. We need to support the development of ESG and impact investing through truly global harmonised regulations, metrics and reporting standards. And we need governments to improve the attractiveness of sustainable investment projects and bring in the private sector through public-private partnerships. Finally, governments must not only get their domestic policy settings right, but they must also tend more to the multilateral trading system in which we all operate. For too long, governments have taken trade rules with the WTO at its centre for granted. Business has heard much rhetoric on the need for reform from politicians, but has seen very little action. Every year, ministers profess commitment to the system, but ultimately shy away from making any compromises or concessions that enable agreement. As a result now, 2 months out from the next WTO ministerial conference, the world looks set to simply roll over today's problems to tomorrow. Business looks at this situation and says this is just not good enough. The WTO and its ability to write